We're holding on Menhei Omud Beis by the second Mishnah at the bottom. So we talked about the measuring that they do to find the closest city for the Egra Arufa. Now, Niftu Zikne Yerushalayim B'Hochalahem, now at this point, once the measuring has been done, then the Zikanim, the Chachamim from the Sanhedrin of Yerushalayim, they take leave and they go. Their job there is done. Now, Zikne Oisair, the Chachamim, the Zikanim, the members of the Sanhedrin of that particular city that was found to be the closest, and it means, Mevian Egos Bakar, they bring a calf, and it means not just they bring it from their own money, the money for it comes from everybody in town. Anyway, so they bring an Egos Bakar, a calf, Asher Le Moshra Ba'oil, whereas the Pasuk says, it never pulled a yoke, which we're going to talk about that in great detail in the Gemara, what exactly passels it in terms of yokes or other kinds of burdens. The ena mum poisaba, however, a mum does not passel it, because it's not a carbon after all. Umeridin oisal a nachal eisan, we bring it down, as the pasuk says, to a nachal eisan. Now, what does the word eisan mean? Eisan kamashmoi kosher. The word eisan means exactly what it sounds like. It means hard, as the Gemara is going to show that you have psukim where the word eisan means hard. But afa pichena eisan kosher, even if it wasn't eisan, even if it wasn't such hard ground, then it's still kosher. Rashi over here and on the pasuk explains exactly that eisan means kosher hard ground. On the other hand, the Rambam has a different, and according to Rashi, the word nachal means a valley. So according to him, it means a valley with hard ground. The Rambam instead understands that nachal means a stream and esan means that's fast flowing. So according to the Rambam, that would be the kind of place where you do the Egla Rufa by a fast flowing stream. And there's an interesting sikha where the Rebbe talks about various details about the Egla Arufa, including this, like the Gemara says later, why specifically Hashem chose that the kapara for this should be using an Egla and in a Nachal Eisan and so forth. And in the course of that, the Rebbe points out there are a few different reasons that are given for this mitzvah. Is it meant as a kapara? Is it meant, like we talked about the last couple of days, as a method of generating publicity in order that we should more easily be able to find the Ritzeach and so forth. And therefore, the various opinions about whether it means hard ground or whether it means a fast flowing stream may depend on that. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. Then they decapitate the calf using a koifetz, which is a large knife, like a cleaver or a machete or something, from behind its head. So that's the Egla Arufa. Now, once they decapitated the animal, then the place where this mitzvah is done is Egla Arufa of Egla Arufa is also from then is also to plant or to do work or to do field work over there, as we're going to see in the Gemara. However, you are allowed to do work over there that's not directly tied with the ground. For example, you're allowed to comb flax or to carve out stones over there. You're only also to do malacha that has to do with the actual ground itself. Next, Zikne Oise Irichtinus Yedeim Bamayim. The elders of the city, the members of the basin of the city, now wash their hands with water, b'mokum arifa shel egla, in the place where the calf was decapitated, v'omnim, and they say the pasuk, yodeinu lo shofos adam hazeh, v'einenu lo ra'u, that it says, our hands did not spill this blood, and our eyes did not see. So you have to ask, why do they need to say that? V'chiyal v'alteinu also shezikne basin shevchidamim. And what, if they didn't say that, would we think that the elders of the basin themselves are murderers? Why do they have to say such a phrase? So Ella, what they mean is, shaloi bo al yodeinu uptanuhu b'loi mazin. They mean to say that this person who was killed over here, he didn't come to our hands, meaning to our attention, and we let him go from the city without food. Now, we learned yesterday that for the Egla Arufa situation to take place, it has to be the guy was killed by a sword, or by some metal weapon. So what would that have to do with not having food? So Rashi here, and also earlier in the Masechta, explains conceivably you could have the guy was left to leave the city without food. He was hungry. So then he saw somebody else, and he figures he's going to rob him in order to get some food, and that guy kills him in self-defense. So therefore, it could conceivably happen that he was killed as a result of not having been provided with food. So now, Basedin is saying that we didn't do that. We did, in fact, wouldn't have allowed that to happen. Now, they're not excluding the fact, obviously, the guy was killed. So it's possible, for example, that somebody individual in the city allowed it to happen and Basedin didn't know about it, but they're saying we didn't know that this guy was in town and then left. If we had known, we would have made sure he was provided the food. And similarly, and we didn't see him and leave him alone to go by himself without being accompanied. Again, Basedin is saying if we had known that he was in town, we would have made sure that somebody accompanies him. We're going to discuss in the Gemara in some detail this mitzvah of Lavoya. The minimum the Gemara says is 4 amos. So Marusha discusses over here, actually. So what's the point? If you're just walking him 4 amos, how exactly does that help? And the answer is because what it means is by that you're showing that you care for him and you want him to get to his destination safely. So therefore, that factors in. Hashem considers that when it comes time to consider, well, does this guy deserve to actually make it safely to his next place? Well, the fact that you looked out for him and you are concerned for him, then Hashem factors that into it. Do you deserve, therefore, that even if the guy himself doesn't deserve to be saved, maybe in the schus of you who was malava him, maybe therefore Hashem will save him as a result of your schus, because Hashem doesn't want to upset you unnecessarily. Now, this is the same idea behind, for example, saying Mishabenachs and other such things. That we show that we care for the other person, and Hashem factors that in. So the Ziknei Basedin say that. Then the Kohenim Omrim, then the Kohenim speak up and say, a few psukim earlier it says that the Kohenim come close, and up till now it hasn't said what role they play. So now they say, the continuation, the pasuk continues, Kapil Amta Yisrael, Asher Padisa Hashem, Hashem, forgive your Jewish people that you redeemed, and don't allow that there should be the guilt for innocent blood to be placed among the Jewish people. Now the end of the pasuk finishes off, the blood will be forgiven for them. Now they don't actually say that, those last words, are Ruach HaKodesh, or the narrative of the pasuk telling them, telling Moshe, telling the Jewish people, when you do this procedure of Eglon Rufa, Hadam Miskapalahem, then the blood will be forgiven you, and don't worry, in other words, that you're still going to have a residual guilt for it, because you did everything you could, as the Ziknei Basedin were just saying, that we did everything possible to prevent this from happening, and they now did the Eglon Rufa. There's also an idea, by the way, Targum Yonason says on the pasuk an interesting point, as a result of all of this, Hashem would cause, and now you have a dead body of a calf over there that was buried, worms start feasting on it. Eventually, those worms go and start heading in a large group towards the Derech Nes, towards the person who committed the murder, and then the worms start attacking him, and then everybody sees that this guy, that's the situation, and then they realize that he's the murderer, and they bring him to Basedin and get him dealt with. So therefore, in a way, the Eglah Rufa is almost like the Mei Soita of earlier in our Masechta, where you have the Derech Nes afterwards, something happens that exposes who the guilty party is. Okay. So the Gemara starts off.
Is that written down somewhere? Is that written down? That's,
yeah, it's written in Targum Yonason on the Pasuk. Marusha brings it over here. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So the Gemara starts off. V'yehei mum poisel be'egla mikal v'choymer. Now, you're telling me in the Mishnah that the Egla Arufa can have a mum, and it's not possible. Well, shouldn't it be a kal v'choymer? Then it does. Uma pora she'en ashonim poisel spa. Madach pora aduma. Here, throughout the sugya, throughout this daf, we're going to be comparing over and over the Eglah Arufa and the Parah Aduma, because after all, they have the dinim of them are similar in some ways. In particular, both of them they can't have carry a burden. By the Parah Aduma, it says in the expression in the pasuk is Asher lo ola aleha oil. In the case of the Eglah Arufa, is Asher lo ubad ba, that work was not done with it. Asher lo moshabal oil, that it didn't pull a yoke. So therefore, all throughout this Omud and the beginning of the next Omud, the Gemara is going to be comparing and contrasting them. So now, first of all, consider the Parah Aduma, she'ena shanim poislus ba. Years don't passel, age doesn't passel a Parah Adruma. In principle, a Parah Adruma could be as old as you want. Practically speaking, the Mishnah at the beginning of Parah says they don't usually want to wait too long because eventually it may develop black hairs or a mum or whatever and be disqualified, but in principle, the animal could be as old as you want. And yet mum posabo, yet mum passels in Parah Adruma, because it says so, asher in bom mum. So then egla shoshonim poislesba, so then the egla adrufa, where age passels it, because it has to be an egla, which means a calf, which means within 1 year old, or actually that's how Rashi says, although actually elsewhere, the Gemara brings an opinion of the Chachamim that can be up to 2 years old, but whatever, beyond a certain point, 1 year or 2 years, then you can't use it as an egla adrufa anymore. So ein adin, she hey mum poislesba. So shouldn't it be a kavah chomer that a mum passels it? Why is the Mishnah telling us that a mum does not passel? And the answer is shiny hosom to omakra asherein ba mum. Because if you look at the pasuk about the Parah Adruma, it says that there was not a mum in it. So therefore, the word ba is a mute. Ba mum poisilvein mum poisilvegla. So it's coming to tell us that it only passels by the Parah Adruma, but not by the egla arufa. Well, the question is elamayata lo yushara vodis poslispa. By that logic, then we should say that other kinds of, so if you're going to tell me that every time it says ba is a mute, and it means, in other words, even though we would have thought to say a kavachomer, now you're telling me we don't say a kavachomer anymore, then by that logic, lo yushara vodis poslis ba, then other kinds of work shouldn't pass by a Parah Adruma. By a Parah Adruma, it only mentions asher lo ola aleha oil, that no yoke went on it. So therefore, now, by the Egla Arufa, it also says the word ba. Asher le ubad ba, that no work was done with it. Asher le moshe ba'il, that it didn't pull a yoke. So if you're telling me that ba says that you can't do a kavachomer, then that would mean you can't learn from the Egla Arufa to the Parah Adruma as far as that all other kinds of malacha pasul. So Alama Omer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rav, in that case, why does Rabbi Yehuda say in the name of Rav that no, in fact, the Parah Adruma can also be pasuled by other kinds of work? So he says, if a person placed on top of the Parah Adruma an oida of sacks. An oida of sacks, Rashi explains over here, means a bundle of sacks. So you have, let's say, a bunch of empty bags. There's nothing in them. Nevertheless, that's still considered a burden that you placed on the animal, and therefore it makes it possible the Parah Adruma. This Gemara is also in Avodah Zarah. Rashi gives another explanation over there that an oidashal sakin would be a piece of wood that's used to hold together that's used to hold together the sacks. Whatever the case, the point is it's not a yoke. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that it passels the psula, that the animal is passel over egla ad shetimshach. Now, when it comes to an egla arufa, it's going to be passel only if it actually starts moving while carrying that burden. In other words, so by the Parah Adruma, since the expression in the pasuk is that asher lo ola aleha oil, then we learn that all that has to do is come on it, that a yoke or other kind of burden was placed on it, even if it didn't walk. On the other hand, by the Egla Arufa, it says asher lo moshcha ba'oil, that it didn't pull with a yoke, implying that it actually has to walk with the yoke in order to be possible. Further on, the Gemara is going to ask what the logic is. If we're learning from the Egla Arufa to the Parah Adruma, then why is the Parah Adruma more chomer? We'll get back to that later. But anyway, the point is that we see that by the Parah Adruma, other things other than a yoke possible. But if you're telling me that that the word ba by the Egla Arufa says not to do a kavachomer, then we should say that by the Parah Adruma only a yoke passels, nothing else, not this Oda Shal Sakin. So the answer is shiny Parah diyalfinan oil me'egla. The difference is because by the Parah Adruma we're actually learning by Zera Shav, because it says the word oil there, and it says the word oil by the Egla Arufa, then therefore so the Zera Shav is different. Unlike a kavachomer, where you could slug it up, and you could say, because it says ba, when it comes to the Gzera Shava, you can't do that. Well, the question is, Egla Nami Tesi Oil Mi Para. And then the question is, in that case, learn the Chavachom, learn the Gzera Shava the other way around as well. Say that, and learn from the Para, and therefore say that should pass, that a mum should pass on it. And the answer is, Hokta, Homiyat Rahmana Ba. Yeah, since the Pasuk said the word ba, then it means all you can learn is things that have to do with the oil. So fine, yes, you can learn with the kabachim, with the gzera shava, that anything that has to do with an oil, anything that has to do with a yoke or other kind of burden is going to passel it. But because you have the word ba by the par adoma, therefore you say that that blocks us from using a kabachim to say that mumim would passel as well. Okay, so the question is, be'eglonamik siv ba. Well then, what are you doing with the ba that it says by the egla arufa? And the answer is, that ba is not telling us about the relationship between the par adoma and the egla arufa, but rather, hahumi boilon ma'uti kodshim delay posle b'hu avoida. That tells us something else, that when it comes to kodshim, when it comes to animals for korbanos, the fact that work was done with them doesn't passel them. So in other words, the buff by Parah Adoma tells us to limit what it says by the Parah Adoma, the fact that it can't have mumim, limit it only to that, but don't apply it to the Egla Arufa, even though certain other dinim about the oil are being learned from one to the other. Meanwhile, the buff by the Egla Arufa is not talking towards the Parah Adoma at all. It's saying, but you should know, other korbanos are kosher even if work was done with them. Because otherwise, Sakudat Hamina. Otherwise, you would have thought to say, Lacey, the Kabachimim Egla. Again, you would think to make a Kabachimim from the Egla Arufa. Uma Egla Shein Mum Poisaba Avoida Perselaspa. Madach the Egla Arufa, where, as we've just established, the Mum doesn't passel it, but doing work with it does passel it. Kodshim Shem Mum Perselaspahen, and Indin Shavoida Perselaspahen. Wouldn't it be a Kabachimim then that Kodshim, where a Mum passels them, then work should also passel them? So you should need for a korban only an animal that work was never done with. Therefore, comes the buff by the Egla Arufa and tells us that not. Well, the Gemara asks, you could show, you don't even need that. You don't even need the word buff to slug that up. Ikala Mifrach. You could anyway slug up the Kabachim. Mala Egla Shaken Shonim Poisless Ba. Because after all, the Egla Arufa, we just said before, there's a maximum age for it. Beyond a certain age, it's possible. So therefore, so you could say, because of that Chumra, you also have together with it the Chumra that work can't have been done with it. Where are you getting, so that's an easy way to slug up the Kavachemi. You don't need the word ba in order to slug that up. So the Gemara says right back, well, otu kodshim yuleka de pasli behushanim. Well, new, and by kodshim aren't there some that also there's a maximum age. For example, a regular person's chatas has to be an animal within a year old. A korban pesach, also an animal within a year old. Certain other korbanos, see how you also have time limits. So therefore, yes, you do have, there certainly are some korbanos that have time limits. Well then, ki itzirch kro lahani kodshim, lahanach kodshim, depasta b'hu shanim. Well then, in that case, you could say that you would have thought at least to make a kalachomer as far as the korbanos where years do passel them. For example, again, a chatas or other things like that. So therefore, now you need the word ba to tell us, don't try to make that kavachomer. Instead say that malacha never passels a korban, no matter whether it's a korban that has a maximum age or not. Okay. But the Gemara asks the kodshim, but like passel who avoided my hachanafka. So you're telling me that we learn from this pasuk from the miyot to ba by the egla arufa that malacha doesn't passel kodshim. My hachanafka. In fact, we learn it from a completely different pasuk. The pasuk says, when it lists the mumim that an animal can't have, aver, it says averes, if the animal is blind, oy shavur, or if a bone is broken, oy chorutz, or if there's a notch in a bone, a notch or a scratch or whatever in a visible part of its body, oy yabelis, which is a type of wart, oy gorov, oy yalefes, or various other kinds of skin growths. Loi sakrivu eile la Hashem. It says you're not allowed to bring these as a korban to Hashem. And the word eile is a miut, so it means eile iata makriv. You can't offer eile any of the ones that are mentioned in any of the, an animal that has any of the mumim mentioned in the pasuk, as well as a few dozen others. Avo ata makriv kodshim shenev de behen avoida. But the eile is a miut, which says you are allowed to offer kodshim that avoida was done with them. So you know it from that pasuk. You don't need the buff by the egla arufa to teach you that. So the answer is the Gemara says still it's true. You need it. Sakdat chamina hanimile hekel de avid ben avoida heter. You would say, you know what? Fine. If the work that was done with the animal was work that is mutter, then fine. You're saying that you can bring it as a korban, and we're saying the word eila teaches us that that's not a problem. Avol. Avoidus iser, but if you had, they would use for work that was osir. For example, Rashi says on Shabbos or or Kilayim, where you had it work together with another species of animal, Emel Litzru, you would think that maybe they would be Osir because you did an Isir with them. So therefore you could say you need the Bah to tell us that even in that case, it's not possible. So you'd need both. You'd need the Ela to teach us about Avodas Heter, and you'd need the Bah to teach us about Avodas Isir. Well, still, you have another limud that you have that even Avodas Isur doesn't pass a carbon. Namely, a couple of psukim later, after the pasuk about the mumim that we just quoted, a couple of psukim later, it says, "Umiyad ben nechol esakrihu es lechem alekechem mikol eila." From the hands of a goy, you're not allowed to offer the food of Hashem from any of these. Meaning, in context, and it was the pasuk is saying that any of these things that passel, any of these mumim that passel an animal for a Jew to bring it as a korban, they also passel if a goy wants to offer an animal as a korban, and goyim are able to offer korbanos in the Bais Hamikdash too, certain korbanos, then still it also can have these mumim. As opposed to, in other words, the Gemara explains elsewhere, if a goy wants to bring a korban to Hashem on his own private mizbeach, his own private bama, then it doesn't matter if it has such mumim. But when it comes to if he wants to offer it on our mizbeach, then it can't have any of these mumim. Anyway, it says again, we call Eila. And again, Eila yatamakrav, avatamakrav kodshim shenev de behen avoida. So it means you can't offer any of these, but you can offer kodshim that work was done with them. And so we have two Eilas. So one teaches us about Melechas Heter, and the other about Melechas Isser. And so what do we need the Bah by the Eglah and Rufa to tell us that Melacha wouldn't pass it? And the answer is Itzrich. You still need it. Safrat Chamina, because without the word Bah, you would think, fine, all of that would apply if you did work with the animal while it was chulin, and then later on you were makdish it, then that isn't possible. Abel Ovid Ben Chen Kodshim, but if you did avoid it with them after they already became Kodshim, Ema Litzu, then you would think maybe at that point they become Osir, Tzricha, and therefore you need the Bah to tell us that even then it's not possible. So you need all three of them in the end. Okay, so the bottom line is, in other words, again, that we have a buff by the Parah Adruma, we have a buff by the Eglah Arufa. The buff by Parah Adruma tells us that Mumin Pasel only it, but not the Eglah Arufa. The buff by Eglah Arufa does not tell us that to not apply something from the Eglah Arufa to the Parah Adruma. In fact, we are applying from one to the other. Rather, it tells us that don't apply what it says by the Eglah Arufa about no work done, don't apply that to other kodshim. Gufa, the Gemara says, getting back to what we said before, we said if he placed an Oida Shal Sakin on the Parah Adruma, then it already becomes Pasul, where again, an Oida Shal Sakin means either a bundle of empty bags, or it means the wood, the piece of wood that you use to hold the bags together, whatever, anyway, so that already passels the Parah Adruma over Eglah Ad Shetim Sheikh. On the other hand, we said with the Eglah Arufa, it wouldn't be Pasul just from putting it on the animal's back. It would actually have to be that the animal moves and pulls it along. So the Gemara says, maybe. So the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, when it says in the Pasuk oil, when it says in the Pasuk by both Parah Adruma and by Eglah Arufa, but here we're focusing on the Parah Adruma, when it says oil, a yoke passels it, Amy Ella oil, so you would only know from that a yoke passels it, Shad Avodis Minayin. How do we know that other kinds of work that the animal did also passel it as a Parah Adruma? Amarta Kavachim. So the Braisa says you have to make Kavachim. Where a mum doesn't passel it, but other kinds of work do, because the pasuk clearly says that no work was done with it. So then the Parah Adruma, where a mum passels it, as it says in the pasuk, ain't a din shara vodis postin ba. Wouldn't it be a kavachomer that other kinds of work passel it as well? So that would be how we know, even though it only says oil. The im nafshach loymar, continues the Braisa, if you would desire to say differently, in other words, as the Gemara is going to point out in a second, there is a way of slogging up that kavachomer, then I'll give you a different way of learning this. Nema kan oil, v'nema lahalan oil. Then instead of learning by a kavachomer, we're going to learn from a gzera shava, where it says oil by both the Parah Adruma and the Eglah Arufa. Ma lahalan shad avodis postless ba. So just like by the Eglah Arufa, other avodis passel, afkan shad avodis postless, the same way over here, other avodis passel it. So we would be learning from a Gzeira Shava, and a Gzeira Shava you can't slug up as easily as a Kal V'Chomer. You could. There is a concept of Gzeira Shava, yet within a Gzeira Shava you have the question of whether the word is mufne or not, whether the word is unnecessary for the simple meaning of the Pasuk. You could have, the Pasuk would have read well without it. So that's called mufne, it's available, and then when you have a Gzeira Shava, so you have, there's different opinions in Gemara's else, in places, in other places in Shas, whether it's enough in order to not slug it up, that it has to be mufna from one side or from both sides. But here we have, at the very least, it's mufna from one side, because once it says by the Egla Arufa that it can't have done any work, obviously it can't have carried a yoke, because carrying a yoke is work. So therefore, so the word oil over there is unnecessary. Maybe even by the part of Adoma, you could say, because it says Asher like Ola Aleha oil, that a yoke didn't come up on it. Wouldn't it be enough to say Asher like Ola Aleha, that nothing came up on it? You would understand that includes a yoke as well. So in any case, you have a Gzeira Shava that's mufna at least from one side, maybe even from both sides, and therefore you can't slug it up just because it says the word Bach.
How would it be both sides?
Both sides would be exactly that. So you have it, if in both psukim, you don't need the word oil. If in both psukim, the posse could have left out the word oil, and we would still understand the concept, then you would have, yeah.
Yes, that's shaykh by paradum.
So that's what we're saying. So maybe not. I mean, you could say over here, definitely by the Egla rule for the word oil is unnecessary, but, by the paradum, you could argue either way, I guess. You could say, when it says, asher lo ola aleha oil, so you could say it needs the word oil, because otherwise, what would you understand? What does asher lo ola aleha mean? Or you could say, maybe asher lo ola aleha means that no burden has ever been on it. Okay. Anyway. So that's the Braisa. So that's how we learn that that other avoid apostles by the Par Adoma. Again, either we can make a Kal V'Chomer from the Egla Arufa, or if you don't like the Kal V'Chomer, we can bring you a Gzeira Shava. So the Gemara says, my Nafshach Loimer, what's that objection that you would have to the Kal V'Chomer that then you need to bring the Gzeira Shava? So because the Chitema Ikal Mifrach, you would say that you could slug up the Kal V'Chomer. Mala Egla Shaken Shonim Poislaswa. Because after all, we just said before, the Egla Rufa has a Chumrah that age passes it beyond a certain age, beyond 1 year or 2 years, it's possible, unlike the Par Adoma, which in principle is not. Or you could shrug up the Kal V'Chomer in a different way. You could prove the counter example from Kodshim. Shemum posel behen. Kodshim also a mum passels them, and Avoda paselus behen. And Avoda doesn't passel them. So in other words, what are you telling me? Any time that a mum applies to something, anytime that something is passeled because of a mum, then Avoda also passels it. But you see that Kodshim is a counter example. So therefore, those two ways you can shrug up the Kal V'Chomer from Egla Arufa to Par Adoma. Therefore, instead, continues the Braisa, Nema Kan Oil, Nema Lahalan Oil, Ma Lahalan Shara Verdes, Akan Shara Verdes. So therefore, so we learn from the Gzeira Shava. The question is, Omi Mokim Shabasa. Well, if you're telling me you're learning it from a Gzeira Shava, then you should learn exactly from where you're learning from. Ma Lahalan Acha Timshech, Akan Acha Timshech. Then by the Egla Arufa, we said it has to be that the animal actually moves while it's carrying that burden. So you should say the same thing by the Par Adoma. Where are you getting that by the Par Adoma? That other kinds of work should passel it, even if it didn't move with it, even if you just put something on the animal, that already should be enough to passel. If you're learning from a Gzeira Shava from Egla Arufa, then you can't make it stronger than what you're learning from. So if by the Egla Arufa it only passels if it moves with it, why by the Par Adoma? Are we saying as soon as you put it on the animal, then it becomes passel?
That's a different expression. Lay.
That's fine, but all the more so if you're by the Par Adoma, it only says Asher Lo Ola Aleha Oil. It doesn't even mention other kinds of work. Only learning the other kinds of work from a Gzeira Shava. So therefore, why should we say that it's stronger by the Par Adoma than by the Egla Arufa? And the Gemara answer is Tanoim. As a matter of fact, it's a machlokas Tanoim, how to learn it. Ika de Maisilam Egla, it is true that there are Tanoim who learn the dinim of the Par Adoma from the Egla Arufa, and according to them, you could ask this question. The Ika de Maisilam Gufa de Para, on the other hand, there are other Tanoim who learn from the words by the Par Adoma itself, they learn that any kind of burden passels the animal. Well, in that case, then the dinim by Par Adoma and by Egla Arufa can be different. So the Tana that says that that just putting it on the Par Adoma makes it possible would be that second Tana. The Tanya, because we learn in another Braisa. Oil, when the Pasuk says by the Par Adoma oil, a yoke, makes it possible. Ainli Ella oil, you would know from that so far only an actual yoke. Shara Vodis Minai, and how would we know that the same thing applies to other kinds of work? Tamad Lema, Shara Ola Ola Oil, Mikol Mokim. No, therefore the pasuk says that no yoke has come up on it, meaning no matter what, asher lo ola ola ha'oil, in other words, the same way, for example, as we've had previous drushes like that, where the pasuk puts the noun, the shem dover, at the end, and therefore we can darshan that the phrase up until that point means something, and only then are we adding that detail, the same way we are. Asher lo ola ola ha means that nothing has come on it. Then the pasuk mentions specifically oil. In other words, if it had said asher lo ola oil alaha, so the word oil would be there before it even completed the statement, then you would say it means dafka and oil. But because you have asher lo ola alaha, so you can understand that without the following word, nothing has come. Then the pasuk specifically is mentioning oil. So therefore, from that pasuk alone, you can see that anything that was placed on the animal passes it. So im pei matam loma oil. So in that case, then why does the pasuk bother saying oil? To teach us, oil posel ben v'shas avoda, ben shaloi v'shas avoda, because it tells you a yoke passes whether at the time of working or whether not. Just placing a yoke on the animal, even if it didn't actually do any work with it, is enough to passel it. In other words, Rashi explains, let's say, for example, you put the yoke on it, not because you intend to have it work, just because, for example, you were carrying a yoke, and it's a big, heavy piece of wood with a lot of contraptions attached to it, and you got tired, and you decided to put it on the animal's neck for a minute. So you didn't intend at all for it to do malacha. Maybe it's if it fits, but whatever. Rashi says that even when we're talking about you're carrying it and it's heavy and you want to put it down. So an oil would pass all no matter what. Shara avodas in process el b'shas avoda, as opposed to other kinds of things would pass all only when he's doing it b'shas avoda at the time of work. Meaning, in other words, for example, Rashi says, returning to the example of sacks before, if he placed the sacks on the animal that he intended the animal is going to carry them someplace else, then it's going to be possible even if the animal didn't actually move with them yet. But if he put them on there just because he was carrying a lot and he needed someplace to put something down a minute, that wouldn't possible the animal. So by the Par Adruma, by the Agrarufa, we're saying that it does. So that's why it says oil.
Agrarufa says the expression of also of Leila oil.
Yeah, but by the Paraduma, it says Asher Lo Ola Ola. By the Eglah Rufa, it doesn't. It says Asher Lo Moshkob Oil, that didn't pour the oil. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara asks, fine, but in that case, the Ema Asher Lo Ubad Baklau Oil Prat. Well, in that case, why don't we learn that the word Asher Lo Ubad Ba is a klal? It means that no work was done with it at all. Then when it continues by the Eglah Rufa Oil Prat, the oil, then when it says Asher Lo Moshkob Oil would be a prat. And therefore, klal prat in b'chlal el mashe b'prat. So therefore, we would say what is included in asher le'ubad ba only an oil and nothing else. So where are we getting that by the eglah aruf for other things should passel it? The answer is asher ribuyahu. Since the pasuk says asher le'ubad ba, asher le'moshe b'oil, that word asher is a ribuy, and it tells us that to not do a klal prat, but rather to understand them as two separate statements. Asher lo ubad ba, no work was done with it. And then separately, asher lo moshkob ba'oil, that it didn't pull a yoke. And we're saying that, the word yoke teaches us that there's a difference between b'shas avoda and shalai b'shas avoda, whether you intended for it to do work or whether you sam put it on there because you needed someplace to put down what you were carrying. By the way, the Gemara elsewhere in Bava Metzia explains a whole nother point on this as well. Since the pasuk says ubad, there was done work, but we can also read it as if it said ovad, because it's written in the Torah, ayin beis dalet. We learn from that that the work has to be l'ritzona. It has to be that the owner of the animal wanted it to do this work or to carry this burden or something, as opposed to, the Gemara mentions over there, let's say, for example, a bird perches on the back of the animal, that wouldn't pass it. You had no intention of it perching there and you have no hana from it. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav Abahu, boy mi name Rav Yechanan. So Rav Abahu says, I once asked Rav Yechanan, Meshichas oil bekama. So we're saying that if the animal pulls a yoke, then in the case of the Eglah Arufa, we're saying it has to pull it in order to be, it has to actually move with it in order to become possible. How far does it have to pull it? Omer Le Kimloi oil. So Rav Yechanan answers him, the size of an oil, the size of a yoke. Well, do we mean the length of the yoke or the width? The length of the yoke extends across the neck of the animal. Sometimes you even have a double yoke because you yoke a couple of animals together. And the width of it as much as the thickness of it is much narrower. Which direction are we talking about? So Omalahu Ahumer Abonan Ben Rav Yaakov Shmei, one of the Chachamim named Rav Yaakov told them, the Didini Farshaleminei Rav Yechanan, Rav Yechanan personally explained to me that Meshichas O L'Rochboi Tepach, the amount is the width, meaning the thickness of the yoke, which would be one tepach. So as long as the animal moves at least one tepach while it's carrying the yoke or whatever other burden, then it becomes possible to use as an aglar.
Space or right left?
No, we mean, in other words, the space. So it was standing over here, it started walking forward. Once it walked forward, a tepach, then it becomes possible.
Which is the thickness of the,
which is the thickness of the yoke. So we're talking 3 or 4 inches. So Gemara says, why does he have to say in such a way, Meshichas O L'Roch by tepach, V'lema tepach, why not just say straight out tepach? And the answer is, Hakamash Malan, because Rabbi Yochanan wants us to know, incidentally, Shi'ura de oil tepach. What is the standard thickness of a yoke is a tepach? Which is relevant as far as buying and selling. If you sell somebody a yoke, you are expected to deliver him one that is at least a tepach thick. And if you sell him one that's below a tepach thick, then he has a claim that you sold him something defective. One of the Mefarshim over here, the Dvar Shmuel, by the way, points out that apparently when it comes to the actual Egla Arufa, even if you did put a smaller yoke on it, it will still be possible as long as it carried the tepach. But we're not saying that as far as the Egla Arufa, the Naftamina is whether the yoke is a tepach thick or not. We're just saying as far as Mekach HaMemcha, it's relevant. Okay. Amr of Yechanan Ben Shol, Mipnei Ma Omra Torah Havi Egla Banachal. Why does the Torah say specifically to take a path and bring it to a nachal, which again means either a valley or a stream, and kill it over there? It means Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yavoi Dover Shalei Osa Peiros, let there come an object that has never produced fruit, because this animal is too young to have ever had babies. V'Yorech B'Mokim Shalei Osa Peiros, and you decapitate it in a place that does not grow Paris, according to Rashi, because it's hard ground, and according to the Rambam, because there's a fast flowing stream over there, and you can't really plant anything in the stream. Well, so then the Rambam would say that you do it over the bed of the stream or something. Right. He holds that Asan doesn't necessarily mean hard. He just means it means that the current is hard. The current is fast flowing. Yeah. Like I said, there's a sicha where the Rebbe talks about, I think in Chelik Yudah, in Chelik Test, I think, where the Rebbe talks about an idea behind why they would hold their respective opinions. Rashi holds essentially that the purpose of it is kapara. The Rambam holds that the purpose of it is more to give publicity for the thing. So for example, you have to ask, the Rebbe says, if the purpose of it is kapara, then the Gemara's question is, shouldn't you choose the best possible land for it? Why are you choosing the worst possible land, hard, rocky ground? And the answer is based on this Gemara over here. Anyway, so you bring a dover shalai osa peiros, a calf, which never produced children, the orif makam shen osa peiros, you decapitate it in a place which doesn't produce peiros, the yachapra, mishalai nichol, lasses peiros, and it'll bring a kapara on behalf of this person who was killed and was not left alive to produce peiros. So they want to ask, my peiros, ilema period of rivia, do you mean that he wasn't allowed to stay alive where eventually he would have children? So what are you telling me? If the guy was old or he was a Swiss, you wouldn't do the Egla Arufa procedure? Of course you do. Ela mitzvahs, rather the peiros we mean over here are mitzvahs, the guy was not left to be alive where he would be able to accomplish more mitzvahs, which are the real peiros of a person, so therefore, because of that, we need a kapara. Next. We said in the Mishnah, Meridin Oysel Nachal Esam, we said we bring the calf down to a Nachal Esam, Esam Kimashmoy Pasha, and again we said the word Esam means hard, or again according to the Rambam it would mean a fast flowing stream. So Tonarabbanim, Minayim La Esam Shul Kasha, where do we see that the word Esam means hard? Shenemar, you have a posit, Bilam says to Yisrael and his descendants, Esam Moshevecha Vesim Vasela Kinecha. Your dwelling place is Esan, and you've placed your nest in the rocks. So therefore, so we see that Esan is like a hard, rocky area. According to the Rambam, again, the point would be that's hard as in a hard current, a strong current. The Omer, and you have another pasuk that also expresses this point, that Esan means hard. The Navi says to the Jewish people, Shimu Horim, as it's in the Haftarah, Parshas Balak, Shimu Horem Asriv Hashem, listen, you mountains, to the argument that Hashem is making against the Jewish people. V'ha'isonim moiste oret, and you Esonim, you powerful ones that are the foundation of the world. So we see again that Eson means mountains that are hard and are the foundation of the world.
Like The obvious
of all stories, right? The obvious, it means the obvious name, right? So therefore we see, in other words, it actually says, what is a mountain composed of? Stones. Therefore, you see that the word a son means stones. Achedim, which usually means the mayor says, how do we know that the word Esan means old, which means it actually says, according to Achedim, the ground doesn't necessarily have to be hard, but it has to be original ground. It can't be ground, can't be dirt that was brought there from someplace else. So he says, how do you know that? Chinema, because you have a positive in Yumia, talking about the costume we're going to invade and conquer Eretz Yisrael, Goy Esanhu, they're an ancient nation, Goy Me'olamhu, they're a nation that has existed for a long time. So therefore we see that the word Esan means old. There's the second section of Hayom Yom, which the Rebbe started composing but never finished, but they published excerpts from it over the years that they found in the Rebbe's Tzaviad. There's one over there taken from Pistum of the Friedrich Rebbe that says that the word Esan actually has three meanings based on our Gemara over here. Alt, hart, stark. Old, hard, and strong. And therefore, so when we talk about the Esan Shemineshama, the essential, the pintle yid, then it has all those three qualities. It's old because it comes from the obvious. It's hard and strong to withstand any challenges to our Yiddishkeit. The Mishnah had said, the Mishnah had said that they decapitate the calf with a cleaver or a machete from the back of its neck. So my timer, why daft at the back of its neck? So goma arifa arifa mechata soif, because we're learning zera shava on the word arifa. Here it says v'orfu, by the chata soif it says mimul orfoi, and there it means that the koyin cuts into the back of the neck with his fingernail. So the same way over here, it means that you decapitate the animal from the back of its neck. Okay, the Mishnah had said on makoma osim lezroyam leovid, the area where you did the egla arufa is also to plant and to do field work over there. Different talk about, by the way, how much of the area becomes also. Are we talking about only the actual footprint of where the animal was buried, or are we talking about a larger area than that? Anyway, so turn it up on it. Asher lo ye'ovid bo v'lo yizareh, l'sha'ovo divir Rav Yoshia. Rav Yoshia says that the psukim that say that you bring the calf to a place that lo ye'ovid and lo yizareh, that means that it never was worked and it never was planted. Says Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonasan and Lahabba. Rabbi Yonasan says, no, these words in the pasuk mean for the future. From now on, you're not allowed to work and to plant or do other field work there. So Rava points out, Lahabba to call Amalei Plegi. When it comes to the future, that you're not allowed to plant there in the future, there's no machlokas. Because after all, the pasuk says, Veloi Zareya. It will not be planted, implying that there's a chisur from now on to plant there. Ki pligi the sha'ovra. The machlokas is only, can it have been worked before? Can this piece of ground where you're doing the egla arufa, can it ever have been worked before? Rav Yoshia sava, miksiv v'lo ye'ubad. So Rav Yoshia takes the view. After all, the pasuk says, doesn't say v'lo ye'ubad, or Agos Habach changes it to v'lo ye'obed. So Agos Habach adds a few words in the Gemara over here. It says lo ye'obed. So therefore, in other words, the point is, it's not saying that it can never be worked. It's saying lo ye'ovid, which implies that it never was, that it's a place that is not used to being worked. Ye'ovid, the yud, doesn't always mean future tense. Sometimes it means present tense. Sometimes it means ongoing. Like you have the famous thing, for example, the Shem Havaya, the yud of Shem Havaya means that Hashem is constantly recreating the world. So the same way, Rabbi Yonasan is saying, and Rabbi Yoshia, rather, is saying that the yud doesn't mean you're not allowed to work it in the future. It's true you can't, because it says lo yizareya, but it said, but the lo ye'obed doesn't mean that it shall not be worked. It means it has not been worked. It is not being worked. So therefore, it means in the past. Rabbi Yonasan answers to that. Miksiv asher lo ne'abad. If it said asher lo ne'abad, then it would be clear, past tense. Ye'obed can be understood as future tense. So what does Rabbi Yoshia answer to that? It's true that if it explicitly wanted to mean that it wasn't worked in the past, it would have said nevad, fine. But Rabbi Yoshia says asher, the sha'ova mashma, but the word asher implies that it's something in the past. It's not a mitzvah, it's not saying a mitzvah, what you're not allowed to do, it's giving a description of how it was in the past. Okay, so then.
That's the next part to ask. Yeah. There, so then.
Right.
How do you know? If
so you don't do it right in the exact place where the body was found. You do it in a nachal near that area. having measured and found what's the nearest city, then you find the nearest Nachal, and you do it over there. Okay. A bit of Rabbi Yonasan. So what does Rabbi Yonasan answer to that? What is he doing with the word Asher? He says just the opposite. Asher ribuyahu. The Asher is a ribuy. That it means that not only planting, but other kinds of field work are also. So therefore, he says that, so you're telling me, Rabbi Yonasan, that Asher means, you're telling me, Rabbi Yoshia, that Asher means it's a description rather than a prescription of what to do, or not to do in the future. No, the Asher is being, is adding other kinds of field work are also as well. Okay. Now, we said a mutal listrik sham pishin lanaka sham avonim. We said you are allowed to comb flax or shape stones over there. So why is that? Tanan avonim. When it says asher loyot ovid bo v'lo yizareya, the pasuk is saying that it will not be worked with and it will not be planted. Ainly elazuria. Now, so far from lo yizareya, you would only know that planting is also. Shara bodis minayim. How do we know that other kinds of work are also as well? Tamadan asher loyot ovid. Therefore, it says asher lo yovid boy, which implies any other kind of work. Again, that would follow Rabbi Yonasan before, where we said that he says that it means lahabah. According to Rabbi Yoshia, it means only or we said actually before, we said that both of them agree that it can't be planted in the future because it's a loyzareya. But we said they're arguing on the words loyovid, whether it's a description. Rabbi Yoshia is saying it's only a description. Yeah, Rabbi Yonasan is saying that it's a prescription. So now our Braisa and our Mishnah and the Braisa that we're quoting would go according to Rabbi Yonasan, that other kinds of work are also as well because it says lo yerovid. So in pain, ma tam ablemu v'lo yizareya. So then what's the point of saying v'lo yizareya? If anyway you're including all other kinds of work, lo yimaloch, it comes to tell you, ma zriya miyuchedes shiv gufa shokarka. Just like what is unique about planting, it's something you do with the actual ground itself. So therefore, what kind of work is also only the kind of work that involves the actual ground itself? Yotze srikas pishin v'nikravonim. Therefore, excluding, for example, combing flax or shaping stones, she'ena b'gufa shel karka. Those are not in the karka itself. You're just using the karka basically as a workbench for those, as opposed to plowing or planting or planting trees or whatever, which involve the actual karka itself, where all of those would be also. Well, the Gemara asks again, like we did on Omer Aleph, the ema asher lo yeoved by klal. Maybe say the word lo yeoved is meant to be a klal, lo yizareya prat, and the lo yizareya then would be a prat. Klal a prat of ein klal al mashav a prat. So then we would apply that rule and say that only what's in the prat is included. Zriya ein midach rin aloy. Maybe then it would include only planting and not any other kind of malacha. And again, the answer is asher riboy. Or who the answer is again? That when it says asher, then it's a riboy. And it comes to include other kinds. It means to tell you don't darshan the klal prat over here, but rather understand that it's two separate things. One, don't plant with it, and number two, don't do any other kind of work that is similar to planting in that you're using the goof of the karka. But don't darshan it as a klal prat. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, there's some discussion, would Rabbi Yoshia agree with this? The Be'er Sheva says that maybe even Rabbi Yoshia agrees with that, but he would just say that it has to be a place that it wasn't worked, but he would agree with the basic concept that you can't do other kinds of work there in the future. Anyway, okay. We said in the Mishnah, Zikne Urrochtin Yudein Chola, we said the elders of the city wash their hands over there, and they say, Yudein Lashofkos Adamazeh. And we said in the Mishnah, so first of all, for Tanur Rabbanan, we said that they washed their hands over the place where the animal was decapitated. So where do we see that? Tanur Rabbanan, when the pasuk says b'chol ziknei ira here, kriv melacholo, all the elders of that city that's closest to the dead body, yuchatsu es yedeim, they should wash their hands al ha'egla harufa b'nochol over the egla that was decapitated in the valley. So she'ein tamad lema ha'arufa. Now the pasuk didn't need to say ha'arufa. We already know the animal was decapitated from a couple of psukim earlier. Means al-mokam arifosa shal egla. They have to wash their hands exactly over where the animal was decapitated. Then the pasuk continues, and quoting from the Mishnah, they say our hands did not spill this blood and our eyes did not see. So as we said in the Mishnah, Chiyav Lebeinu also should based in shreif from damim. Would we have thought that based in spilled blood? Ella, they mean loy baldi adenu chanuhu blemizonis loy nuinu minachnu below the voya. So it means that he didn't come to our attention and we let him go without food and we didn't see him and let him go without the voya. In the Mishnah, by the way, those phrases, beloy mezonis and beloy lavoya, were in parenthesis, and it seems that maybe the original Mishnah didn't have them. The Mishnah was just saying, uftanuhu, v'inachnuhu, and then the Brai says, adding the detail, that loy ra'inu, uftanuhu, means beloy mazon. Loy ra'inu, v'inachnuhu, means without lavoya. So now the Gemara is going to go into a discussion about this mitzvah of lavoya, about this mitzvah of accompanying a guest, of accompanying a guest. Where again, like we said before, Marashah says, even you're not walking him that far, but it symbolizes that you're looking out for him, and therefore Hashem takes that into consideration when deciding what should happen with the person next. So Tanya, we learn in a braisa, we force people to do lavoya, meaning, in other words, exactly that. Rashi says, if somebody doesn't want to do lavoya to a guest, we force him to do it. And the idea is, in other words, Beis Din sets up people who are responsible for that kind of thing. That's why Beis Din is saying, lo reinu, v'inachnu below lavoya, because Beis Din's responsibility to make sure that there are people doing that. And Reb Meir says, Shaschar halvoya ein mashir. Reb Meir says, in fact, the reward for halvoya, there's no limit to it. It keeps on going forever. Shenemar, and we have a pasuk that expresses that point. So the psukim and Udi and Sefer Shoshim, it describes how after Yeshua passed away, the various Shvatim were going and finishing the job of conquering their areas of Eretz Yisrael. So it mentions that Shevet Yosef, Menashe and Ephraim, at one point were trying to capture the city of Luz. And they couldn't find the way into the city. So then the pasuk says, "Shenemer by Yiru Ashrimim Ish Yotzim in Eir." The guards saw somebody coming out of the city, one of the goyim who lived over there. By Yomru Loi Harenu Noas Mavoya Eir. They say to him, "Show us the way into the city." Vaasinu Imcho Chosid, and we will do Chesed with you. Ochtiv, and the pasuk continues, "By Yaremus Mavoya Eir." He showed them the way into the city. So that's considered like Lavoya, because what's Lavoya? You're telling the person the next way to go. So now he told them the next way to go, how to get into the city. Rashi brings on the postic over there, by the way, that the city was called Luz, which means an almond tree. They actually had the way in and out of the city was through a hollow trunk of an almond tree. That's why they didn't realize there was no regular gate over there. So now the guy showed them the secret entrance in and out of the city.
That wasn't
the
place that had scorpions and water blocking the entrance.
No. Okay. Scorpions, you know. So what was the chesed they did with him? As the pasuk goes on to say, they killed everybody in the city with a sword, because after all they have the mitzvah of wiping out the Canaanim, but this guy and his family they left to go free. And the pasuk continues, so first of all, it benefited him that his descendants, that he has descendants in future generations, where otherwise, if he hadn't shown them that chesed, eventually they would have conquered the city and he would have been killed too. But second of all, Vayelech Ha'ish Eretz HaChittim, the pasuk continues there in Shoftim, the man went to the land of the Chittim outside Eretz Yisrael, Vayiven Ir, he built the city, Vayipur Shmo Luz, he called the name of the city Luz, that is the name of the city until this very day. And Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, what's so special about the city of Luz? Obviously, he named the new city after his old city. But Luz, first of all, this is the city of Luz where they die Tchelas. So Tchelas itself comes from creatures that live by the Mediterranean, but then they bring them to Luz for processing, and therefore, in other words, the city's economy depended on that. And Tchelis is very expensive, so it means they were making a nice panos over there. He Luz Shabbos Sancheirev Leibivla. In fact, it is the city of Luz. Sancheirev, even though he conquered the whole world and transported the people from one place to the other, nevertheless, he never did that to the city of Luz. Nebuchadnezzar came along in his times and he didn't destroy the city. Rashi explains, because since the pasuk says, Ad Hayoim Hazeh, then it means until this very day, until nowadays, when you read the pasuk, that city still exists. So therefore, so we see that Sancheirev and Nebuchadnezzar had no power over it. Where is it now? It's not in Eretz Yisrael. It's outside Eretz Yisrael, someplace in Turkey, in Istanbul, I don't know. Whatever, anyway. Even the Malach HaMavis has no permission to go into the city. Ellis, Kadim Shabab, is Mancha Daitan Kotzalayan, the old people in that city, when they get tired of life, Yotzin Chutzachim of Emason, they go outside the city and then they die. So now the mayor says, Valo Dvarim Kavachim. So now make a Kavachim over here. Uma Knani Zeshla Dibu Befivalo Holach Beraglam. This Knani, to give the Bnei Yosef the instructions how to go into the city. He didn't talk with his mouth, as the Gemara is going to explain in a second how he showed them where the way is. So he didn't actually say verbally, this is the way. Well, I holach beraglav, he didn't walk with his feet to go there. And yet, he brought about salvation for rescue for himself and his descendants till the end of time. So then somebody who does levoya by actually accompanying a guest on his feet, Allah is kama kama, how much more so that he gets a schar that lasts forever? So the Gemara asks, "Bameher Olahem." Well, if we're saying that this Knani from Luz did not actually tell them where the entrance is, then how did he show them? Chizkiya amar piv ikim lahem. Chizkiya says he curled his mouth, like he made a motion with his mouth like this, and then they realize from that what he's referring to. Rabbi Yochanan amar that's boy Olahem. Rabbi Yochanan says he pointed with his finger. And Moses says, "Tanya chavasei de Rabbi Yochanan." We learn a brisa like Rabbi Yochanan. B'shvilsh knani ze herabetz boy. Another brisa says basically the same one as before, but it says because he pointed with his finger, Goram hatzalaloy lazarad. So for Andreas, therefore, he saved himself and his generations for and his descendants for all future generations. Tiferes Tzion points out over here that maybe you could say, in other words, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, you need to at least do some maisa to be yotze the mitzvah of levoya, if not enough to just move your lips. You have to actually, you may not have to walk on your feet, but at least you have to point with your finger to show the way to go. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yishur ben Levi, hamahalach baderach ba'inlo levoya. Suppose a person is walking on the road and he has nobody to accompany him. So Yasif Torah, then he should occupy himself with learning Torah while he's traveling, because that will be his levoya. They will be a livyaschein for your head. In context, the word livyaschein means a beautiful garland, a beautiful crown, or a beautiful crown of leaves, like for your head. But we're meant to understand livyas meloshim levoya chayin, that the Torah will give you chayin, like we say in Tfilas Aderech Husneinu lechayin lechetzer lerachmim. They'll be like a necklace around your neck. So we see that Torah can be a person's levoya if nobody else is available.
Is this a capital film
somewhere? No, it's a pasuk in Mishlei. We had it in last week's Pirkei Avos. Because of four steps that Parai accompanied Avraham when he was leaving Mitzrayim, and we know that because the pasuk says that Parai commanded men to accompany Avraham. Because of that, he was able to subjugate the Jewish people for 400 years. Now, we don't mean the Golos was caused by that by Parai being malavah. Marashar explains, in other words, the Golos was nigzer for other reasons. But the question, Hashem didn't say at the Bris Ben Amsarim which nation is going to subjugate the Jewish people. The fact that Parai and his nation got to do that is a result of this levoya of doing levoya for Avraham. And the Gemara continues, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Tolam Alaves Chavera Abba Amos Be'ir Einin Nizik. If a person accompanies another fellow Yid, even four Amos in the city, then that other Yid won't be harmed as a result of that, like we said before from Marsha. And the Gemara gives an example. Ravina Alviyeh L'Rova Bayitz Galad Amos Be'ir. Ravina one time accompanied Rova Bayitz for only four Amos in the city. And Mot L'Yodeh Hezekah. And Rova Bayitzchok later on was in a situation that could have been dangerous. Be'itzo. And he was saved in the schus of the fact that Ravina had walked with him four Amos. Tonan Abonim, we learn in a b'lai. So Harav L'Talmid Ad Ibur Shavir. A Rav should accompany his Talmid when his Talmud is leaving town, the Rav should accompany him until the Ibura Shal'ir, which means until the extension of the city, which is the houses that stick out up to about 70 Amos on any side of the city. So he should walk with him 70 Amos outside the city. Chover l'chover, a friend for a friend, or might mean one Talmud Chacham for another Talmud Chacham, should accompany Ad Tchum Shabbos up till Tchum Shabbos, 2,000 Amos. Talmud l'Rav, a Mashir, a Talmud accompanying the Rav, there's no limit. Now, Kama, what do you mean, no limit? What, does he have to travel with him to the end of the world? No, it means Amar Sheish has ad parsa. He has to walk with him a maximum of parsa, which is four mil, about 2.5 miles. Now, that would only apply only if it's not his Rabbi Muvach, only if it's not his primary Rebbe that he learned most of his Torah from. But if it's his Rabbi Muvach, then he has to accompany him up to 3 parsa. Obviously, the Rebbe can be moichel on his covered, and most people do nowadays, but in principle, the Talmud has that requirement. So the Gemara continues, Rav Kahana alviyeh Rav Shimon ba'Ashi mipumnara ad beit sinisa debavel. One time Rav Kahana was accompanying Rav Shimon ba'Ashi from Pumnara, which is a city in Bavel, until an area in Bavel that had a lot of palm trees. So he was walking with him that distance. When they came to that area, the palm trees, Omerle, so Rav Kahana asked Rav Shimon ba'Ashi, Vade damritu, is it true that I've heard that you say, Hanitzin Yosid Bavel Mishnei Odomarishan Isnu, that these palm trees growing in this part of Bavel are here ever since the times of Odomarishan? Omalei, sort of Shimi says, not quite, but in Kauta Nilsa, you reminded me of a statement, the Omer of Yosef Abchanim. My dichtiv, what does it mean, a pasuk? The eretz le'ova ba'ish. The pasuk says, a land in which no man passed through, v'lo yoshem odam sham, and no odam ever lived there. Now, you have to ask, why does it need to say the double expression? If no person ever passed through the area, the Navi is saying to the Jewish people, you should realize what a chesed Hashem did by taking you through the midbar safely, where nobody ever lived. But what do you mean? If nobody ever passed through there, of course nobody lived there. What it means is, the pasuk is saying, Eretz Shigaz, the word, when it says Odom, means Odom as an Odomerishan. Eretz Shigaz, Odomerishan, the Yishuv, any land that Odomerishan decided should be settled, Nisyashva, then it was settled. Eretz Shigaz, Odomerishan, Nisyashva, a land that Odom did not decide should be settled was not. So in other words, the pasuk is saying, the Eretz by Ova Ba'ish, it's a land where no human being ever passed through. Why? Because Lo Yoshav Odom Sham, because Odom did not decide that it should be a settled area. So in other words, Rav Shimi is explaining to Rav Kahana, it's not that the actual palm trees are as old as the time of Adam edition, which by now would make them 4,000 years old. It means that Adam decided that this would be an area where there's going to be palm trees, and therefore from Maisa Bereshis until now, palm trees continue to grow here, but it's not the same trees. And the Gemara mentions another example, Rav Mordechai Alviyel Rav Ashi may have Grunya ba'ad Beikipi. Rav Mordechai accompanied Rav Ashi, who was his Rebbe, from Hagrunya to Beikipi, ba'amila ad Beidura, others say till Beidura. Either way, that's a considerable distance, because you said that a Talmud has to accompany his Rebbe even 3 parasa. This may have been even more than 3 parasa, which is why the Gemara is highlighting it, but the point is that he was willing to go, even that extra distance on behalf of his Rebbe. So we'll continue tomorrow, Baz Hashem. The Gemara is going to continue more on the subject of the Voya, but we're going to talk about it in connection with the famous story of Elisha and the children over there who made fun of him and so forth. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into that by Rifus tomorrow, Baz Hashem.